while the men are running around the outskirts, and they're flashing their lights into the trees around their village. And in some of these videos, I'm going to contend that you can clearly see tall, gray aliens. Tall, gray aliens.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey. The Smithsonian, that if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop that's just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
Welcome to Blurry Creatures.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
All right, you guys know out there, the listeners out there, you know the drill. There's a lot going on right now, and we're doing a special midweek episode with Tim Albarino because there are some 7-foot-tall green aliens apparently showing up in the jungles of Peru, taking people's face off. This isn't a bad 80s movie, Luke. Sounds like one, but this is the real deal. The face peelers, is that what they call them?
The face peelers. It's an interesting time. And so, you know, Tim, people joke that you are becoming our third host on our show, but in this time, these are things that are happening. We have terrified Peruvian villagers. You lived in Peru. You speak Spanish. So you are the ultimate. And, you know, you have a lot of thoughts on Bigfoot and also extraterrestrials. So you are the man of the hour right now. And this has hit the news, everyone. So this is one of those current event things. We did it with the, you know, we want to unwrap the hearings in the House Oversight Committee with Tim because that was hitting the news and people were watching clips. And we want people to be fully informed on what was going on. Not just watching the 10-second highlights. So we broke that down. And now this is weird enough. And also there are enough parallels to some other things that happened this year that I think this is worth talking about, because the things you're going to see out of Peru, when we were just in Peru, not here, not in this place. But this to me is not a fantastical a story that's getting, you know, TMZ run or something like that. This is, something's happening. And, you know, because Tim, this has been a wild year. Disclosure, whistleblowers, and the conversation and UAPs, also UFOs, coming to the forefront of even mainstream media, to the fact that the point that we're talking last week about the Congress having oversight meetings, the significance of what that really means. And we wanted to have you back to talk about what you know, just your breakdown, talk about what's happening in Peru and how this may relate to some other incidents that we've seen this year. So people have a full story. And plus you read Spanish. We figured this out when we went to Cusco with you. You also speak Spanish. You got a jungle accent is what we learned in Cusco. We're not going to hold that against you because we have no accents. We don't speak Spanish. And also, you know, one of the things I have to make an aside right here, Nate, we never brought to the forefront in any of our Peruvian talk that the alpacas of Peru hate Nate Henry.
That's right. That's an important detail that we've never discussed.
Listen, before we get to the extraterrestrials, Nate held one on day one and it spit in his face.
They're strangely disgusted with Nate. They spit on him.
Something weird.
Every chance they get, every time he's in the proximity of a llama, he gets spat upon.
Yeah. But I got to point out though, bro, that the first one that didn't like you, that one makes a living getting pictures with gringos. And that is a picture alpaca. You hold it, you take a picture, and it didn't like you. Wow. Then you tried to make amends with one of its cousins and we're at a Jante Tambo. And that one didn't like you either. But that is neither here nor there. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome to Tim Albarino. Yeah.
We're grateful for your time here, for your friendship, and excited to break this down today and talk about what the reports that are coming out of Peru, so we can inform our listeners about what's happening as you kind of sift through all the reports and how this might relate to some other things that have happened in the past.
Well, you know, it's weird. I've kind of inadvertently become the Amazon jungle alien guy. I recorded an impromptu video with my friend Doug Thornton the other night. We were just having a casual conversation about some videos, and I called him. I said, "Hey, have you seen these videos?" And we're talking about it. And we just said, "Hey, you know what? We should probably just turn the cameras on and record this conversation, because it's pretty crazy what's going on down there." And that video went viral. So I guess I'll just embrace my new identity as the alien jungle guy.
Hey, but we already like we said, we already felt that way about you.
You guys embraced that a long time ago, so I'm just catching up.
Yeah.
I lived in the area, obviously. I dropped out of high school when I was 18. I moved to the Amazon, as your audience well knows. I spent a decade living in Peru. Much of the time was in that precise region of the jungle and in general around the Iquitos area where this incident happened. And because we're short on time, I'm just going to dive into it and try and lay out as much of the details as I can. You guys can just interject whenever you want.
Yeah.
But this incident that everybody knows about now, it took place in the village of San Antonio. This village is inhabited by the Iquitu tribe. It's in the district of Alto Nanay, which is northwest of Iquitos, and this is squarely in the Amazon jungle, very intense jungle, I can attest to that. Lots of malaria. I've had it a few times up in that area. The incident occurred, it's been ongoing. It started in mid-July, and it's been running through at least the first week of August. And what kicked this whole scenario off, apparently, allegedly, a 15-year-old girl from the village was abducted by strange beings in the jungle. She was able to break free from them and run back to the village. She sustained lacerations to her neck during the altercation with these entities. You can see pictures and video of her online. She's got these cuts in her neck, and they bandaged her neck up, and you can clearly see the blood. And when the villagers found her, she was in a state of shock. And indeed, in some of the videos, she's still in a state of shock, very clearly in a state of shock in those videos. So in response to this, the villagers started to run through the jungle looking for the perpetrators, presumably thinking that they were human beings trying to kidnap one of the teenagers from their village. Instead, what they found was what they're describing as extraterrestrial beings that have been terrorizing their village subsequent to this incident with the 15-year-old girl. These entities have been terrorizing this village for several weeks. I don't know if it's ongoing now, but it certainly was happening the last 3-4 weeks. The villagers say that they've not been sleeping. They've been having to take turns staying up at night to try and fend off these, again, what they're describing as extraterrestrial assailants, invaders. And they demanded officially, they made an official request for the intervention of the Navy. Mm. And the Navy did show up on scene. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's describe the beings, or rather, let me describe for you what these natives are saying about the beings. They are saying that these entities are 7 foot tall. They're arrayed in silver armored bodysuits. They're likening them to the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. And what they mean by that is they say that the beings are wearing masks and they have these armored bodysuits like the Green Goblin, but they're not green, they're silver. They're saying that their shoes have discs on the bottom that project a red light with which they are able to float off the ground about a meter, they say. So rather than running through the forest, these entities are floating through the forest, a meter off the ground, and they have the ability to ascend into the air. And apparently they're also bulletproof. The villagers have been discharging their firearms at these entities, in some cases point blank range, shotguns and rifles. And apparently they're bulletproof. It doesn't faze them. And sometimes they disappear or they ascend. The villagers will start shooting at them. They'll disappear like in the Predator movie. They can still kind of see them there, or they'll just ascend into the air via these discs on their shoes. This is what the villagers are saying. They're also saying, and I think when they say this part, they're referencing past occurrences, that these entities, who they call pelacaras, sometimes appear in hoods. They're dressed in cloaks and hoods, and they stalk around the villages and they abduct people. This relates to the legend of the Pelacaras. Pelacara means face peeler. The Pelacaras, according to the legend, abduct and mutilate people from the villages in the Amazon, specifically the Peruvian Amazon, much like the cattle mutilations in the United States. So we're all familiar with the pictures and videos of the cattle mutilations where these cattle are mysteriously mutilated in a way that is extremely precise, almost as if a laser was used, laser precision. Their tissue is removed, their eyeballs are removed, their anuses are removed with laser precision, the sides of their faces are removed. I've seen cattle mutilations. All of the flesh on the face of the cow is gone so that you only can see the white cranial structure of the animal. And there's many other details relating to the cattle mutilations that are common with the phenomenon. And this very same thing is what these Pelacaras are doing to people, not cattle, but human beings in the jungle. And I showed a video which has been making its rounds on the internet since I published my video. I showed this video of an individual who's being pulled out of, well, let me back up. I'm not sure if this incident is related to the Pelacaras, but it did happen this year, and nobody really knows the context of this particular video. But in the video, which I have on my YouTube channel, which is in my video, which I'm probably going to have to blur, by the way. So if you want to see this, you should go see it very quickly. You may find it blurred by the time you get over there, because I realized that YouTube has a policy against depicting dead bodies. So, and that video is over 700,000 views at this point. So I'm going to go and try and stop it from getting taken down and getting a strike on my YouTube channel. But you can find it elsewhere on the internet. There's this man who the police and a coroner are carrying from the side of a river. And this individual, his face is missing. His face is gone. It's just bleached white bone. And some people are saying it's piranhas. Could it be piranhas? Yes, piranhas are capable of doing that, certainly. But what's very strange about this video is you'll notice if you see the video that there is, his face has like been surgically removed. It does not look like it was the action of carnivorous fish. There seems to be a surgical cut around his neck that is very precise and it's very smooth, which would again be very, would be unusual, would be atypical of piranhas or any other kind of predatory deprivation. And this did happen. This incident did happen this year. I think it happened about a month and a half prior to the incident with this village in San Antonio in the Alto Nanay. But it did happen in the same region, not exactly the same village, but in the same general region, the state of Loreto, which is where Iquitos is located. And it's important to note that this incident with the Iquitu tribe is not happening in isolation. Over the last month or two, let's just say in 2023, this year, there's been about a dozen very anomalous things that have been happening in this region of the jungle. All kinds of UFO sightings, which is very common there. I've had them myself in this area. But even reports of UFOs attacking a group of teenagers, it's very difficult to find details about this story, but they're out there on the internet of these individuals who claim that they were attacked by a UFO, that the UFO projected some sort of a beam at them and even tried to lift them off the ground, and they have injuries and so forth. And there's been sightings of strange beings in this area this year. So there's a lot of high strangeness happening in this region of the Amazon, ongoing, and that has been occurring for the duration of this year, since 2023, let's say. And so, as I said, this incident is not happening in isolation. So to wrap up the details of this incident, the Navy did show up and the police to conduct an investigation. They were on site, and because it got picked up in the mainstream media in Peru, and by the way, the media was covering it in a very serious, grave manner. They were not joking about it. I was very surprised, actually, how serious the coverage was regarding this incident in the Peruvian media. And so the Navy showed up on scene, they conducted an investigation, and they concluded recently, after conducting their quote unquote investigation, they concluded that the intruders are not extraterrestrials, but rather these are miners, illegal miners who are mining for gold in the rivers, who are attempting to drive this tribe away from the area because the tribe has legal right to this area. They're trying to drive them out so that they can mine in the river around the village and in the general area. They're even saying, because a lot of people are pointing out that, wait a minute, these things are floating off the ground. These things are, mm-hmm. There's behaviors here that are obviously beyond the capabilities of a Peruvian illegal miners. And so what is the response from the Navy, from the police and the Navy in Peru? Oh, the miners have jetpacks. Mm-hmm. The miners are flying around with jetpacks and drones and are attempting to terrorize and drive away the Iquitu people inhabiting this region. Obviously preposterous, preposterous. I mean, I just can't believe that they're actually pushing this narrative. Now, I should also say, before I completely wrap up, I should also say that there's video online and in my video on YouTube of the villagers running around at nighttime with flashlights, firing into the jungle, discharging their weapons into the jungle. They're obviously very disturbed, very distraught. They're in a state of panic and terror. All the women and children are huddled in the middle of the village while the men are running around the outskirts trying to ward off these, again, in their words, extraterrestrial intruders. And they're flashing their lights into the trees around their village. And in some of these videos, I'm going to contend that you can clearly see tall gray aliens. And I've looked at the stills of these videos. I featured it in my own video. I've watched other videos. We've done some enhancements of our own, and I'm telling you, you're looking at tall gray aliens. Now, are these people dressed up in costumes? Is this some sort of a hoax? Is it holographic? I don't know, but I'm just saying that you can see these beings in the footage. They have the typical bulbous heads with the almond-shaped eyes. They actually look more like insectolins. They are, presumably, they are 7 foot tall. They're not the small grays. They're definitely large. They look very much like, I'll take a break before we segue into this. They look very much like what we saw in the Vegas incident. But these beings are there. They're on camera. And the footage is clear enough to where you can actually see them moving their heads around. It's not static. These entities are actually looking around, and they're kind of up behind a tree. So either they're floating there or they're sitting in the tree in this particular video. And I looked closely at this video yesterday, and I noticed that there wasn't just one. There was actually two or three grouped together up there. And you can see their almond-shaped black eyes. Me and Doug noticed that you could even see the glare of the flashlight off of their eyes.
Like eye shine.
So something is there, okay? These villagers are being terrorized by something real. This is not some sort of a psychosis. This is not a hoax. This is not a ploy for attention. I don't know the people in this specific village, but I know, generally speaking, the people who inhabit this area of Peru, this is not typical behavior. They are definitely 100% in a state of terror. And as I said, very distraught. So that's it in a nutshell.
Like right off the bat, Tim, it reminds me of a story that we interviewed John Redbird Dover on our podcast. He came on the show, and he was a paranormal ranger in Navajo country. And he said there was a story of a guy that described the way these aliens moved. They said they were like in a straight line floating across the ground, going back into the ship. Remember that, Luke?
Yeah. It's like they went uphill like they're on an escalator.
Yeah. So that's not the first time we've heard this.
Oh, yes. And I've heard from Robert Fleischman, the original singer with Journey, who told me at my Birthright conference that he had an encounter with gray aliens. And shout out to Robert Fleischman if he's listening to this. He had an encounter with gray aliens, and the very same thing. They were floating at him. Mm-hmm. They emerged out of a vessel, out of a craft that came up out of the ocean, and they were chasing him, but they weren't running. They were floating. So this is consistent with many, 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 many stories that have come forward over the decades regarding gray aliens specifically.
Yeah, and I remember in the Vegas incident, they were talking about how big they were and they were tall. And I was going to ask you, you know, just off the record, what do you think about these tall grays? Because most of the time we hear them, they're small. And I know that Phil Schneider supposedly battles some of these tall ones. We've seen the tall ones depicted in a lot of movies. What's the difference between the tall grays and the short grays? Just nothing, or?
Well, the tall grays are 7 feet tall. The short ones are 3 to 4 feet tall. Now, are these tall grays? Are these insectolins? Because there is Dr. David Jacobs, UFO, rather an abduction researcher, makes a differentiation between the small grays and these entities he calls insectolins on board the UFOs that abductees encounter during abduction episodes. And insectolins are described as being 6.5-7 foot tall. Mm-hmm. And they look very much like the grays, but their heads are, they have more of a distinct exotic insect-like appearance. That's why sometimes people refer to them as mantis beings, because they mm-hmm. kind of look like a praying mantis in the face. And I would say that is what these entities look like in this video. And let's now draw an interesting correlation to three events. And this is what I did in the video with Doug. I see three events here that are connected in my mind. We have obviously this incident in Peru with the Iquitu tribe, in the village of San Antonio. We have the Vegas incident that occurred the last night of May this year. And then we have the story that Phil Schneider tells about his altercation with these very same entities as he was employed on the construction of a deep underground military base at Dulce and Los Alamos National Laboratory, which is famously known as the Dulce Wars, by the way. This sort of kicked off the Dulce Wars, this incident that Schneider talks about. So you have three incidents that are seemingly disparate, disconnected, but what unites these incidents is the description of the beings. Now, I want you to understand that whenever somebody encounters something terrifying, something so outside of the realm of normalcy, there's going to be confabulation when they describe entities. If you encounter something briefly, you see something that's beyond the scope of what's normal for you, and then you try and recall the encounter afterwards, your mind will confabulate details that you think should be there, but maybe we're not. And what I mean by that is, I believe that the entities that were encountered in the Vegas incident, which I'm leaning towards that being real, by the way, I don't know, I can't be 100% sure, but I lean in the direction that that was an authentic encounter with non-human entities. The description of those entities was that they were very tall. I think they were confabulating 10 feet tall. I think the entities were in fact 7, and I have a reason for believing that. They were about 7 feet tall. And I think that they were gray aliens, large gray aliens. And again, I have a reason for believing that. And I believe that the young, especially that I don't remember his name, that particular young man who's been most vocal about the encounter, he described initially a large mouth, seeing a mouth on this creature. I think he confabulated that. And the reason why I think he confabulated that particular detail is because I believe we have a picture of the being that was captured. I'm pretty sure we discussed this on your show, that was captured in the footage from that news agency. Remember, the local news agency came to do a report at the property shortly after the incident in Las Vegas. And we've all seen this video. They're interviewing this family, the members of this family who've had this encounter. And then they're walking to the backyard. And as they're walking to the backyard, they cut the footage. But before they cut the footage, people have taken that footage and blown it up. And in the backyard, you can see, you know, it's not like grass, it's gravel. And it looks like they work on cars or something back there. And there's a forklift. The members of this family who had the encounter, they specifically said that the beings were hiding behind the forklift. And so when they walked into the backyard, again, somebody took a still out of video before they cut the footage and they blew it up. And lo and behold, you can see, I can see clear as day, in the footage, a tall gray. And I'm telling you, it looks precisely like the one that it was captured on video in the Amazon. It's the same thing. Let's call it a species. It's the same species and it's the same size. What I saw, I made a determination based on the size of the head and the forklift that this being was not 10 foot tall, rather it was more like 7 foot tall with a very large head. And I think the immense bulbous head with these large almond eyes. The head is oversized on these creatures. On the small grays and on the tall grays, the head is oversized. It's not proportional to the body. So I think when people see the large ones, they confabulate a stature that is actually not accurate. In other words, they see this large head that looks like it should belong on a 10-foot tall creature, when in reality, it's a 7-foot tall creature, because that's what I saw in the video. It looks like it's 7 foot tall.
It still is huge. Still 7 foot tall.
Which is huge.
Big fella.
With a massive head, disproportional to the body, that would be more proportional than a 10-foot tall being. I don't know if I'm explaining this in a clear manner. But what I want to stress is that it's the exact same thing I'm looking at in the jungle of Peru, terrorizing this village. Same thing. These are the same creatures. Now, you can make the case that the video in Vegas was hoaxed and that the video in Peru was also hoaxed. They did some visual effects and they added in this creature, right? They edited in the creature. I don't know. I highly doubt it based on the footage. I highly doubt it. But it's a possibility, sure. But what's the chances that they're going to get the exact same creature, same stature? Mm-hmm. And the one in Vegas also in the video, it's moving its head. It's not static. It's moving its head. It's looking slightly up, slightly to the left and right, and slightly down, just like the one or the ones captured in the video in Peru. So something's going on here. In my opinion, without knowing all the details, of course, without being on the ground in Peru interviewing these people myself, which I can't do because my passport is in transit, by the way. I believe that these people, the Vegas incident, the Peru incident, and Phil Schneider all encountered the exact same species of non-human entities, large grays, 7 foot tall. These are nasty beings in possession of advanced technology. That is my personal opinion. And it is just my speculation. I have no proof that that's the case, but I personally believe that is precisely what they're encountering.
Well, it makes me think about our interview, Luke, with David Politis, Missing 411, where you had this animal involvement, where the craft are coming out in the middle of nowhere, they're taking animals. And, you know, we talked to Dave extensively about just the oddities of the animal stuff. I think the face peeling part of this and the cattle mutilations, to me, lends a lot of credibility. We also interviewed a cop who lived in Colorado who said he got called to several cattle mutilations, and how everyone standing around was like, this is a phenomenon. This is something strange. These things are like dropped out of the sky. They're sucked dry. Body parts are missing, like you're describing. And that gives some credibility to this Peruvian story, because this guy is just laying there in his face. It almost looks like Skeletor from the He-Man series. It's like this skull on this face. It doesn't look like it was chewed off. It looks like it was like sucked off of. And I think that lends some credibility to these stories, because a lot of people just think that the UFO phenomenon, the alien phenomenon, it's all spiritual. Like, why are animals involved? Why is blood and DNA and body parts involved? It doesn't make sense if it's just that. Like, I think there's a element to it, but you have this obsession with the physicality of us and our animal species. It's just, what are they doing, Tim? Why are they doing this like science experiment?
I have no freaking idea why they would surgically remove a face. It makes no sense to me. I mean, I've heard various theories about it, but I don't know why they would do that to human beings or to cattle. Maybe they're harvesting some sort of genetic components. Some people have even suggested that they're feeding off of something. They need to harvest it for nutrients to make their own nutrient solutions that they eat, because the grays, and this is something that I think we can know definitively at this point about the grays, they don't eat like we eat. They don't have teeth. It seems to me that they can only absorb liquid nutrients. And I know that seems like a shot in the dark for people who aren't familiar with the abduction material or with a lot of the data regarding the grays from decades of ufology. But there's very good reason to believe that they don't ingest or digest food in the same way that we do.
Kind of like in the Matrix, they feed the humans intravenously by liquefying the dead.
Yeah, something like that. There was a document that surfaced, and I believe it surfaced, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it surfaced on Reddit, and it was a document that was allegedly published online anonymously by an individual who's been working in a laboboratory with the bodies of these entities. And one thing that he said, which absolutely confirms much of the material that we know about the Greys, is that the Greys, they don't have reproductive organs, but they also don't have, they don't have bowels. They don't produce waste in the same way that we do as human beings. Their digestive, their mechanism of digestion is completely different than ours. And so this led this individual who published this paper anonymously to surmise that they could only ingest liquids, and that the waste from the food that they're ingesting, the nutrients, is being diffused through their skin.
Weird.
And it creates a very strong putrid ammonia.
No terrible bathrooms on the UFOs, right?
Well, think about it. People who've encountered these beings, what have they said routinely? These entities have a very potent odor to them.
Are you telling me the really sweaty ones are just having diarrhea?
Well, I mean, you kind of describe the way that they dispose of the waste. They basically sweat it out through their skin.
That's what a lot of these creatures smell like, they say, you know?
Yeah, and so that's interesting that if it's liquid nutrients, if they can only consume liquid nutrients. I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but that is a little interesting piece of data.
So the other part is, like, I've been watching a ton of UFO docs lately, trying to study up and learn as much as I can. You know, one military guy, I can't remember his name, on one doc I was watching, I think it was called The Phenomena. He was saying since 2014, the reason we're talking about it is because it's more and more sightings. Here we have, in a couple of months, multiple sightings with the same type of creature. And it caused a bunch of ruckus to where these events sort of become legend. And I want to throw this out there too, because this happens in, like, the Bigfoot space. Like, it's like a nightly thing happens for, like, weeks on end. And there's so many people involved that the story becomes sort of more legendary than just one individual encounter. You had the cops in Vegas. Then he had the camera on his, but the body cam footage. And then you had the interview of multiple people around there, and then they had video footage. So there's a lot of things that kind of create, you know what I'm saying? It sort of, like, gets everyone talking about it, and it seems to be more than just, oh yeah, old crazy cousin Eddie saw something in the bushes. It's not that we're talking about. But Tim, it seems like there's a lot more things happening where things used to spread out over years. You know, you would hear, like, little rumblings of some UFO sighting, and then it'd be a long time before anything else happened. To where it made, like, the national news like this. Like,
well, what's changing the game here, let's be specific to the Amazon, is the fact that these guys now have smartphones.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I made this point in my video. They're way behind in terms of technology in the Amazon, obviously. This is a very remote area. You can only get to these places via the river. And so, yes, they do have cell phones. Yes, they do even have smartphones. They're cheap Chinese-made cell phones, most of them. Not everybody has them because, obviously, these are not wealthy individuals. These are rather poor communities living out in the middle of the Amazon. They don't have resources to be spending on fancy cell phones. And so that's why the footage is so pixelated. It's not a great cell phone, number one. Number two, it's low light. And even good cell phones have a hard time recording anything of high resolution at nighttime. So, but because they do have cell phones now, because they do have in their hands the ability to quickly take pictures and video, that's why we're beginning to see more of this. This is, again, this is a legend, the Pelecatas. This has been going on for time immemorial in the jungle. I can personally attest to all the UFO activity that happens in the Amazon. So it's not new, but there's more, the environment has changed, the atmosphere has changed in terms of the media. The media is now open to these stories, whereas before, you might have had a story like this emerging from the jungle in which a village is going through official channels to try and request or demand intervention from the Navy or the police because they're being attacked by these legendary extraterrestrial creatures, and the media would have responded by rolling their eyes, right? We're not going to cover that. Stupid, those dumb jungle people and their ridiculous legends. We're not going to cover that. The environment has changed. Prue's been all over. The medium Prue has been all over the hearings at Congress, the UAP hearings. They've been saying that the United States is in possession of alien crash retrievals and bodies. I mean, they've been all over this thing. So now, in this environment, when this story reached the media in Peru, it was taken seriously because the environment is different now. And so it's very possible that stories like this have been coming out repeatedly over the decades, but just never going viral because no one ever took them serious. Now, that's not to say that there isn't an increase in activity. Mm-hmm. I think there is an increase in activity. I mean, just look at the Vegas thing. There is an increase in activity, and we could speculate all day long as to why that is. And some people have suggested that maybe these entities are even cooperating with elements, human elements, and they're being encouraged to make noise, let's say, right? To make themselves a little bit more visible for some reason, for some agenda behind the scenes. And indeed, I know some very credible people who think that that may be the case. Now, that is a terrifying prospect. The notion that factions of the human race would be in league with these creatures and somehow directing them to do what, to show their faces a little bit more, be a little bit more overt. That is a terrifying prospect. I'm not sure that that's true, but there are so many different directions in which we could speculate regarding what these things are, mm-hmm. why they're doing what they're doing, and why there appears to be heightened activity, especially revolving around the UAP hearing and all the revelations coming out by the whistleblowers.
And it's not a new phenomenon. Just like in the 50s, the Flatwoods Monster was spotted in Virginia. We talked about it for a split second in our last episode, but it was a tall one, 7 to 10 foot tall, glowing, and it glided at these guys. After UFO crash, they saw this gliding, tall, almost looked like it had some sort of Catholic robes on, and it was like floating towards these people. So that was in the 50s, though.
Like a pela cara.
Yeah. So it's interesting that the way that these things move is sort of well documented in a lot of these historical stories. But are we on the verge of these things popping up all over the place? Are they just coming out of portals and then we're catching them on cell phones? Or are they?
No, I think these gray aliens are real. They're biological creatures. They may be cybernetic also. They have bases under the ground. So they're inhabiting some sort of a subterranean world under the ground, either bases that they've constructed or they're making use of the natural caverns. I definitely believe that that's the case. But they're also in possession of advanced aerospace vehicles. So they're not limited to moving around on the surface of the earth and beneath the surface. They're also very clearly in possession of, let's call them UFOs or UAPs. So they're flying through the air as well. Now, the interesting thing to think about, I'm sure we don't have time to go into this now, but the interesting thing for the audience to think about is what is the relationship between the large grays, the tall grays, and the small grays? I mean, it can't be coincidental that they look exactly the same, except for the fact that they are their statures are different. Now, it could be, as I've said repeatedly, it very well could be that these beings that are being described as tall grays are nothing more than the insectolins, that these are indeed the insectolins, and that the insectolins do represent the native species. I agree with Dr. Jacobs and his assessment that the insectolins represent the native species on board the craft when these that are being reported by the abductees during abduction episodes. That is the native species. In other words, they're the ones that are manufacturing the grays. Mm-hmm. So are we looking at insectolin sightings? And again, the small grays would be clones, genetically modified beings that are cybernetically enhanced, perhaps also with artificial intelligence. Perhaps there's a hive mind there. There's so many different speculations here. But were they manufactured by the insectolins? I think the answer is yes. But then there's also the possibility that the insectolins are not themselves entirely biological, that they have cybernetic components, and maybe they were also manufactured, right? I mean, it's an endless speculation here, but the point is that they're real.
They're popping up everywhere.
And they're popping up, and they're They're terrorizing people in the Amazon. I do not believe this is, to reiterate, I do not believe that this is the activity of illegal miners with jetpacks.
I wanted to come back to that point, Tim, because I think it's important that in the debunking, and I say that in quotes, you can, the debunking of some of these things, right? I would encourage you to go and look at some of the Google searches, if you're listening, about what the illegal mining activity has been stopped by the Peruvian government and what they've confiscated, right? It is wooden ships with tin roofs
that are
dredgers, and they say they used high tech technology to communicate when the government was coming or when the Navy was coming around, and that was radios and cell phones. So the idea that these people who are illegally mining gold and pouring chemicals into the rivers,
mercury right? in the water,
this is their game. The idea that these same people would have jetpacks and be an armor to be immune to gunshots. Is patently absurd, number one. And two, it takes a lot to terrify an entire village in Peru. There's things you cannot discount about this story, wherever you want to land on this, is there's a village that's terrified. There are real injuries. You want to say the video of the guy with half face is not real, or it's CGI, or it's from another time.
Or the girl, the 15-year-old girl who's got lacerations to her neck, and she is my clearly... point. That girl, by the way, okay, I want you to consider this. That girl, watch the video. There's videos of her face blurred, but then you can find them in the Peruvian news where her face is unblurred. She is in utter shock in some of those videos. Utter shock. So would she be in shock like that if just a bunch of miners grabbed her? I mean, I suppose if they're dressed up like monsters or something, but she encountered something otherworldly.
Yeah. That's my point, Tim. You can find this video, whatever this video was at a different time, and the guy with the face was cartel and it was piranhas. There's a lot of things that people can discount, but what you can't is that the vehicles and the technology these miners have when they're captured is nothing like that. What this claiming to be debunked. Number one, it's not jetpacks, it's not gunshot armor, and secondarily, you have a real terrified village that asked for Navy protection.
And you demand it,
and you've got real injuries that you can verify with multiple photos now. And we have cell phone video. And that, of course, is also debatable. And you always want to play devil's advocate on this stuff because people do. But the similarities, when you break it down, I think it was very important to talk about what you're able to see. And the similarities to that and what happened in Vegas and finding the chain, really the chain of custody in those, right? And saying, okay, these are authentic. That you can't explain that away, and so this is my point. We can go down all a bunch of paths and talk about tall grays and short grays and hypothesize on what's going on here, but you really can't dismiss any of what we consider to be the hard evidence here. Is that these are the facts, and this is what happened. This is really happening in Peru, and what is really happening? I think you do a great job of taking the evidence and then sort of saying this is what we believe is happening. And I'm there with you. I just wanted to say, listen, what are you going to read about this, and how they're going to debunk this, and the prosecutor is going to say this? It doesn't make sense. All you have to Google is what the Navy confiscates when they get these illegal gold miners and illegal loggers.
High technology, advanced technology.
It's not that.
Crappy cell phones.
Yeah, it's crappy cell phones. It's not jetpacks, man. This isn't
jetpacks.
And we've also talked too a lot about on the show that how different media outlets don't work the same around the world as they do in America. I do think they have controlled news around the world, but I'm just saying, for instance, there was elongated skulls found in Iran, and it was like in the news. It would never be in the news here. It would never make the news if they found an elongated skull somewhere in America. I'm sorry, it just wouldn't happen, right? It's like, the media here is definitely way more controlled. So we've seen how, you know, when you're in a third world country like we just were, things are different. Things run a little different. It's a little more like all bets are off. You know, even when you're just driving, it's just like it's kind of chaotic. So was the media that you were consuming there, did it feel like it was a controlled narrative, or did you feel like some of the real stuff was kind of coming out?
They look terrified to me. Some of these news reporters, the videos I'm watching in Peru, they look genuinely terrified. Remember, this is coming on the heels of the hearing. So all these Peruvians are thinking, we knew it. The US government has had alien craft and bodies for decades. And then boom, this story comes out of the Amazon. And remember, this isn't happening in isolation. So the stories are breaking all the time about UFO activity and are being taken seriously now. So yeah, I would say that the coverage is serious, and there's definitely a little bit of shock. But now they're running with the Navy's conclusion of the investigation. Now they're saying, okay, everybody relax. It's a sigh of relief. That's what I'm saying. It's a sigh of relief. Okay, everybody relax. It's not aliens. It's not pelicadas. It's just illegal miners.
It's just rocket.
That's what it's like. It's not laughing. It's not like a clown show laughing at these villagers. It's a collective sigh of relief in the media in Peru. That's what I'm saying. So this is what's unprecedented here isn't the activity, rather it's the way that it's being covered in the news. Just like in the United States with the hearings, we've turned a corner and people are taking this stuff seriously. That doesn't mean that every single incident that comes out of the Amazon is to be taken as authentic. These are very superstitious people. The jungle folk are very superstitious. There's all kind of weird stuff. There's a lot of paranormal stuff that happens in the jungle. Obviously, if you're in a state of panic or paranoia, you can confabulate things that you think you've seen. You can be easily spooked if you already assume that all these strange creatures are stalking around. So, and by the way, the miners have done that in the past. So there's a historical precedent for that. The miners have done that. They have made use of the legends in the jungle to try and drive away native populations. They have done that in the past, but it didn't look anything like this. I mean, you know, these miners, as we've been saying, definitely don't have access to jetpack technology. Okay, full stop. But they have in the past dressed up in suits and costumes and tried to terrorize these villagers. That's a dangerous thing for them to do, by the way.
Sure.
Because these villagers will not hesitate to shoot them.
Yeah.
Right. And most of the men in these villages have a shotgun because they hunt.
Yeah.
So they would not hesitate to shoot them. So it's a dangerous game to play if you're a miner to try and drive these people off their land. And in fact, I heard a story very quickly. I had a friend in the Amazon in this region. His name was Emir Masinkai. And Emir Masinkai was a tribal leader, but his tribe was the particular one, that tribe that wears the grass skirts, and they use the blowguns. And of course, the darts on those blowguns are dipped in poison. They're rubbed on the back of the poison dart frogs. And he told me a story that one time there were these, I believe in this case it was drug traffickers. There was a group of drug traffickers that were operating in the territory of his tribe. And they were being aggressive with his people, and they were trying to bully his people. And so what did his people do? What did the tribesmen of this particular tribe do? They got together at nighttime, they grabbed their blow guns, they snuck up on the miners' camp at nighttime, while the miners were sleeping in their tents and sleeping by the fire, and they blow darted every one of them and killed them all.
Jeez.
Okay, that's how the natives respond to infringement on their territory. That's how they respond. They're all like that out there.
It's like a native version of There Will Be Blood. There will be blood, which is
There Will Be Blood, and
Amazon
and
version.
They'll take you out, and they have the legal right to do it. These indigenous tribes in the Amazon, this territory belongs to them. If you try and run a pipe, which has happened many times in the jungle, you try and run like Petro Peru, the oil company, runs a pipe through the Amazon, passing through the tribal territory of some of these communities. And if Petro Peru doesn't play ball with these natives, because they have to give them an annual payment or something like that to be able to run these pipes through their land, obviously siphoning the oil. And if they try and screw over the natives will literally turn the pipe off. They'll just turn the pipe off, and then they'll guard it with their guns or their blowguns or whatever. They will turn it off and kill anybody who tries to come and turn it back on. That's the kind of people you're dealing with in this region of Peru. These are not a bunch of panicky, weak-kneed people.
Yeah,
these are serious jungle people who their ancestry goes back, you know, hundreds of years. They come from the Amazon, and yes, they are excitable as it pertains to the myths and the legends of the different creatures in the jungle. Yes, they are aware of these things, and yes, that can be used against them and has been in the past. But I don't want to give people the impression that these are weak-kneed people, that these are weak-kneed tribal men. These guys are tough as nails, and they will put a bullet in your head at the drop of a hat if you try and infringe on their territory or abduct a 15-year-old girl, for example.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, we got a heart out here, but thanks for another rendition of Los Creatures Borrosas. The Face Peelers.
Las Criaturas Borrosas. That's Blurry Creatures in Spanish.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Well, and you have to go number two, and you're on a UFO. You're in tough luck. We learned a lot of things today. But there's no can.
Look out for the sweaty ones, guys.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for giving us our listeners a little midweek drop on the weird stuff happening in Peru. Peru.
I'm here as always to terrify your listeners.
That's what we're here for as well.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Good to see you, brother. Thanks,
thank you, guys.
Dude, always good. Always good, my friend.
All right, man.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Tim.